Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you go and live in a house with a woman who's trying to steal your baby?
Are you seriously asking me that?
How did you ever live with me?
Okay, I'll tell you. Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna go back in there. And you are gonna act like a handmaid. But the entire time, you will be plotting against them and planning your revenge.
Is that what you did?
Look at what happened to Fred.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Wendy.
And this is the Handmaid's Tale podcast.
This week, we're covering The Handmaid's Tale, Season 5, Episode 8, Motherland.
Wow.
This week, Welcome. We have an amazing special guest, Diana.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
You may know Diana. She was our host on season three.
Because you guys did four and mm-hmm. we're in yeah. five. I think it was Lizzie and I did season three.
Yep. Yes. Yep. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. That's very sweet of you.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be here. I've been listening with fervor every week. It was really sweet. I think like two episodes ago, Jason made a really big point of talking about some feedback I had about Serena, and mm-hmm. it's been a really great season so far, and you guys have brought up some really great topics, and I'm excited to jump in.
It's interesting. Like, everybody really seems to enjoy giving feedback. We get really long feedback on Handmaid's Tale, more so than other shows. And some people, you can just count on them every week. They're in the feedback section. There's a mm-hmm. couple people that I've noticed from last season aren't leaving any feedback at all. And I'm like, I'm wondering if it was just too much, because I see them on other shows. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if it was just too much and they're just not in a place where they're okay to watch it.
I think too, there is Handmaid's Tale fatigue, which is a real thing. But I think too, there's also this premiered like right at sort of the confluence of a bunch of different really great, very deep and heavy shows. You've got House of the Dragon, mm-hmm. Rings of Power. You know, Sandman came out this summer too. And, you know, Walking Dead is going into its final season. Interview with the Vampire. There's a lot of really deep and heavy shows that are out there. And it's like, this is one of those ones that I think in terms of coverage in the news, you wouldn't really get a spoiler. So I wonder if people are also comfortable with like, I'm going to wait and I'll binge mm-hmm. later. So I'm curious if at least a portion of people are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's rough to binge this show, though.
It really is.
Was it the last episode? I think. Is it you, Daphne, that said that you were thinking about maybe going back at the beginning? And then there was a pause. And Wendy, you go, I can't do that.
No,
it's not happening.
I can't do that.
I sometimes like to go back and rewatch things once a series has ended mm-hmm. or once it's gotten to this like climactic point, because knowing what I know now, it's interesting to go back and watch for particular things, like Absolutely. Signs for the yeah. future. We did that with Yellow Jackets. It was a lot of fun. We got through the whole series and then went back and started over because there's so much more you can see once you've been through it once.
It's true. I did, as soon as Stranger Things was over, all like those marathon episodes, I need some mental help because my first thought was, I want to go back to the beginning now. And that's just ridiculous. And I did. I went all the way back to the beginning and I started from episode one. And it's interesting, like exactly what you said, there are elements and things in right there in that first like 15 minutes of episode one that tie all the way to the end of those episodes you just saw. And so it's definitely worthwhile. Handmaid's Tale is tough, though. I would like to at some point, but I'm wondering if when the show's over, I'll need maybe some distance. You know what I mean? Like just a little distance. I would like the world to be a little less Handmaid's Tale-y to rewatch again.
I'm hoping that they release the third season of Ted Lasso very soon because that's my like happy show to watch.
Yeah.
It just brings joy. You know, there's just so much. I mean, yes, they have conflict, but there's just this vibe underneath that always feels good, like something good's gonna happen.
Great British Baking Show is happening right now.
And oh my gosh, and I'm two episodes behind on that.
I'm behind, but I didn't watch last week, so I don't know. So please, people, don't spoil us when you know. But I really feel when that show, when the episode is over, I'm like, these people are just like you said, Daphne, about Lasso. There's this joy and I'm like, oh God, it's just so missing in some of these other deep shows.
They're just so kind and they're real people.
They're and so nice to each other.
Really, I need like an hour of that a day. Like they need to have more.
And there's not enough time in the day to watch and do everything. That's the thing with all this great TV out there. It's really difficult to pick and choose what you watch. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we should probably jump in to this discussion because, this episode, there was a lot that happened. Mm-hmm. It was all over the place as far as the ups and downs. So as we usually do, we'll go through with our points. And Diana, since you are our guest on this episode, we will have you go first.
Knew this was going to happen. So I've got some big points here. So I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about first, but I really think I was coming up with my points while I was also listening. You guys record in advance. So I was listening to your coverage for the last episode and it was really helping me mull over how I felt about this episode as well.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about how I feel like overall, the way they position the characters of June and Serena, I feel like each week is a test of the audience for our own humanity, because you're on these opposite ends of the spectrum. You have June, who is this character you want to cheer for, but she makes these poor choices and she, you know, rushes on ahead and does it without thinking about people and things like that. And you have moments where you're like, all right, I'm still cheering for you, but you're kind of like, I was yelling at the, not this past episode, but the one before when Kelly was guesting and she was talking about having issues with June and Jason really grilled her and was like, nope. So I was talking about June making these poor choices and some of them are really rough choices. But we're still trying to cheer for her because we know all what her ultimate goals are, you know, to Hannah and her family and to get back to her family unit.
We also know what she's been through.
Exactly. Like
she's been through so much. And I think we do cut her a lot of slack.
Agreed.
For that reason.
And then I think on the other side of the spectrum, you have Serena, who was, she started from a place of she's done some terrible things. But now with the birth of the baby and she's in this position of feeling like, you know, she's being treated like a handmaid and all this other stuff, then we are sort of forced into having some empathy for Serena and varying levels of it, depending if you're talking to Wendy or to Jason about that. So I like that dichotomy of June, who is this person we're cheering for, who sometimes it's difficult to cheer for her. And then Serena, who we have this hard time accepting as a human, but then we have empathy for her. We're forced into having some empathy for her. So I just thought that was, it's really been interesting this season. They've really mm-hmm. been delving into that, and it's making it very stark. The last episode, obviously, but it really came out in this episode as well. So that's my point there.
I actually liked the way they did it, because June's attitude had changed towards Serena this week. Mm-hmm. And to me, that seemed real. When you're mm-hmm. in something, you know, your emotions are heightened. You're away from the entire world. It's just you and that person. Obviously, you feel a bond. And so I think the way June felt in this episode towards Serena seemed realistic to me. Like, she does, mm-hmm. she doesn't feel the same way she did before it happened, but she doesn't quite feel the same way she did during. And that, I feel like that's very real to life.
Yeah, I'm glad they had the scene where she said the words we all had in our head, where she said, we're not friends. Mm-hmm. But they do have this really rough shared experience, different for each one mm-hmm. of them, but it is a shared experience. And regardless of whether or not, you know, you did good things or bad things, when you're in a shared experience, there's a bond that's created. And that's why Luke can't fathom it, because right. he wasn't a part of that shared experience.
He doesn't know Serena.
Yeah. No. And she is a terrible person. She's done terrible things, but mm-hmm. she's been able to genuinely connect with June on a couple of different points, a couple of different levels, different moments here and there. As much as June tries to shake her, literally, she'd like to shake her. She just can't, you know, when she admitted that in the last episode, she's like, I just can't. Couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, and the baby is also is an element of that. But mm-hmm. deep down, she didn't want to kill Serena.
And she cares enough now to show up, because she didn't mm-hmm. have to. And she cares enough to be honest with Serena. Mm-hmm. She could have just never returned Serena's calls again.
Yeah. She gave Serena, I think, the best advice she could have.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
I think we'll talk about that more probably a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, June kind of got shocked back to reality, because she had that shared experience with Serena. And then she sees Luke at the end of the last episode. And now the start of this one, Luke's talking about, why would anyone help her? And June has to point out, her baby didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
And shouldn't be held accountable for Serena's actions. And I think for part of this episode, June and Luke were a bit at odds about it, because Serena is this polarizing character, and all Luke knows is all the negative, nasty things that June has said. Mm. So he can't fathom in his head why June would help. But June is a mother herself.
Yeah.
And so she connected with Serena on that level. She got them through that situation. But again, she's not going to be Serena's friend. Now that they're back in the real world, it's mm-hmm. just not the same.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her focus has gone back to what it was before, Hannah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, absolute sense.
Right. Absolutely.
That's been what she's been trying to do this entire time. You know, once she got rid of Commander, she was able to focus on Hannah.
Agreed.
Yep. It was hard seeing her and Luke kind of at odds in this episode, but I also thought it was realistic, because while they've rebonded, they're still going to have those bumps in the road.
Exactly.
It's still going to happen. That's just realistic in any relationship.
Yeah.
So, Wendy, what is your first point?
I'm going to talk about the political climate in Canada. Mm-hmm. Things seem to be getting more and more tense in Canada. The refugees from Gilead, they've got it coming at them at all angles. They have the crazy Canadian Gilead wannabes harassing them. And then they have the Canadians that are anti-immigration, and they don't want the Gilead refugees in Canada. They just want them gone. Mm-hmm. The people protesting the immigration are getting more and more aggressive and violent. You can see what's going on with Luke and June's house. It's being protested. Doesn't seem like there's any protection for them. And it really feels like the clock is ticking for the remainder of the U.S. government. They are running out their welcome in Canada. Gilead is attempting to cut them off at the knees by becoming the kinder, gentler Gilead that can enter the UN. And to me, this feels real. Just what's happening with Ukraine right now. We're giving billions of dollars in aid to prop up Ukraine. And I absolutely believe in what we're doing. But how long can they sustain it?
Right.
And the longer time goes, the more other issues come up in the world that will take a priority over it. And it just becomes this thing that's brushed under the rug. And so I think that's what's happening here. Many years have gone by. Canada wants peace on their border. So they're willing to negotiate with Gilead and they're willing to make concessions. Gilead is enticing the people that have escaped to go back to Gilead. I do think the longer the time goes by that it becomes more and more likely that the U.S. will never regain their losses. They need to make a move. And this is where Mark Twella comes in. Thank goodness we didn't end the season without seeing him again.
Wendy, when I was watching this episode,
I really thought we might not see him for the rest of the season, but I was like, I thought he'd show up.
I'm glad that he did for your sake.
And he needs June on his side. If she goes back to Gilead, it's a huge blow for the U.S. government. She's refugee number one at this point. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely looking at the big picture. He always seems like we don't even know him personally or anything about him, really. He always seems like he's pretty selflessly working towards what's best for the U.S. government. And I believe he's correct. Although Lawrence's motivations seem good, what's to say that there won't be another purge, as there have been several purges, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be Lawrence hanging on the wall next. Or, you know, Lawrence isn't a spring chicken. What happens when he, you know, somebody else becomes the leader?
Well, I think, too, Twella had a good point with saying, with basically comparing Lawrence to Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, you know, the Putins,
mm-hmm.
he could be replaced by Putins. Like, you can't, there's no guarantee.
Right. He tries to kind of play on June's patriotism. And he asks her, don't you care about your government? And I believe June does care about the U.S. And more than that, she cares about the people trapped in Gilead. But more than any of those things, she cares about Hannah. That's her mm-hmm. priority. And that's pretty natural.
Yeah, totally understandable.
Yeah. Mark tells them that he's launching a military action. He's trying to do the right thing for his country, but he needs June.
Mm-hmm.
And he has found where Hannah is. He comes through with all of that information because I think he knew he had to. He was going to lose refugee number one. She was going to go right back to Gilead. He had to make a big move right now, you know, and you can see him taking chances. He gave them classified information. And I you can tell with the way he is that that was a big deal for him. He's not an oath breaker. He's somebody who takes his allegiance and his responsibilities very seriously. You could see he was torn up inside, but he had to get her to his side.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if she goes, it represents so much more than just a regular former Gilead citizen going mm-hmm. back to Gilead.
Yep.
She's someone that they all look up to. She's someone that represents. She got angel flight. I mean, all of the things that she did, it just doesn't look good for her to do that.
And the conditions seem to be deteriorating in Canada. And I think he knows, like, they have to do something, because if you're starting to feel unsafe in Canada, then Gilead starts to look a little better, as terrible as that sounds.
They're trying to wrap it up with a nice little bow to do the new Bethlehem thing, too. They're making it, we know you don't want this, but would you accept this, which mm-hmm. is Gilead light, you know, diet Gilead, if you will. And will it work? I guess it remains to be seen.
Right.
Well, I think, too, Lawrence's grand scheme is to have Gilead light and then have some of Gilead light get into Gilead, because he's not happy with the way that Gilead just went so severe.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he sort of said that he's, you know, the things he said to both Nick and to June separately about, at least when in this conversation with June, when he says that he's trying to change it, but it takes time. And the New Bethlehem would be like that first step. And then you sort of bleed those things into regular Gilead. That sounds like that's his hope down the road. Whether or not it works out is, I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope for that. Too many true believers.
Yeah. We kind of saw that with the gathering of the men in New Bethlehem.
But I thought it was interesting when I was watching it a second time. In that gathering, it was hard to tell the first time I watched it, but the second time I saw, I don't know the commander's name, the one that they were trying to sway, the one in the glasses.
I don't remember his name either.
I don't either. But, you know, they're putting out their little points here and there. There's Nick, and then there was another younger commander, the tall guy. And they're talking about all this stuff, and he's very resistant. He's like, I still have a vote and blah, blah, blah. But then once they bring up Putnam, I thought he kind of backpedaled a little bit. I really think like Putnam is, that's the new dirty word. You don't ever want to be compared to him, because look what happened. It was Stark. They killed him right there in front of all his people. And
that
his
was
wife
a threat.
Was right there. So mm-hmm. say mentioning Putnam's mm-hmm. name is a threat.
Yeah, and not so veiled either.
It's a reminder. It's like a subtle get in line reminder.
Yeah, yeah.
You better get on the bus with us now. We're going in a new direction, or
exactly.
You could be Putnam'd. I mean, that's a new verb.
I like it. It works. It's dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was a definitely a threat to, you know, get on board, because the days of the Putnams is over. You know, there will be mm-hmm. no more of the things that he wanted. I'm just curious to see if he will also try and bring Lydia into that fold, because she's the one that was, you know, she had these ideas. The ceremony can happen at the center and da da da, and it'll protect the girls a lot more.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see if he'll try and bring Lydia into the flock for this whole thing. But I don't know. He was so resistant that first time around. I think in his case, I think he personally doesn't like Lydia. And that's why he bristles around her. She has good ideas, but I think he's going to take them and steal them and have someone else implement as necessary. But,
yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's true. I think Lydia does rub him the wrong way, but she also has been very helpful to him.
Yeah.
She's pushed him or gently nudged him in directions that was the downfall of Putnam. And again, that removed another obstacle out of Lawrence's way.
Exactly.
Wendy, did you have anything else?
Nope, that's it for that.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, well, I want to continue on this New Bethlehem train that we're on, talking about what Lawrence wants to do. He's got a lot of these great ideas. He compares New Bethlehem to Hong Kong. He talks about keeping it a secret from the proper Gilead state, I guess you could call it, or country, because there's no free press. They're not going to know until later, because, I mean, one of the commanders asks the question, what's going to stop people that are in Gilead now from running here instead of Canada, which still would be keeping them in the fold by them not going. But Lawrence is talking about, one thing that stood out to me is Lawrence is talking about reuniting June with Hannah. I'm just not sure what June's idea of reuniting with Hannah and Lawrence's idea of June reuniting with Hannah. I'm not sure it's the same thing.
I think June's desperate and she'll take anything at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the same wavelength there. I think she's
no.
hearing what she wants to hear, and he's trying to entice her in any way he can. I mean, look at the play he gave to Nick as well. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you can be with, you know, both your women you love and da da da. You know what I mean? So, you know,
that'll be a complicated situation.
Yeah, looking forward to that silence there. Yeah, I think Lawrence is he's slick and he knows how to play on people's emotions, and he's sort of saying what they want to hear. Yeah, I think they're what June's expectations of what be with Hannah and what Lawrence's intentions of be with Hannah, I think they're two totally different things.
I think it's Hannah lives in Gilead and visits June in New Bethlehem.
Right.
Which that's is more what, than what she has now.
Right.
Right.
But I think she thinks in her mind, Hannah's going to be living in New Bethlehem.
Yes.
And that's not the case.
She probably thinks she that gets her foot in the door and then she can change some other things. She I mean, it gets June. Her closer to Hannah than she's been in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole proposal by Lawrence does stir up a lot between June and Luke, who have had rebonded and seem to be on a better page.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, it causes them to have this big conversation where June is basically telling him that she would go back to Gilead by herself and that Nicole and Luke would be fine to stay in Canada if that's what he wants to do. The bottom line is June's planning to go. She wants to be with Hannah. And a lot of it stems from the fact that she feels such guilt about leaving Hannah behind. That really came out in this episode. I mean, even more so came out in this episode.
Yeah.
So Diana, what is your next point?
Oh, well, could we just for a moment discuss, I literally wrote it in my notes with the vocal intonation as well. Can we just, ugh, the Wheelers.
Oh, They're the worst.
As much as the scene in the detention center with Mrs. Wheeler was terrible, I mean, I had no expectations of a good scene, but then it just got even worse when Serena was in the house. You know, my takeaways, like that scene in the detention center when she's trying to say, you know, I don't think she's trying to be gentle about it a little bit, but she's like, I don't think you're fit to be a mother, full stop. But she did stop for a little bit when she's like, oh, you know, I made my poor choices and I was in labor and whatever. And she kind of waved it away and she was like, oh, yeah, the hormones or whatever.
They'll make you crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so she sort of forgave it there. But then that scene later and with her husband there and they're treating her. At first, it feels like it's a child, but they're treating her like a handmaid. Absolutely.
They are. And,
I mean, she's a wet nurse. It's interesting. I thought it was interesting. Did you notice too? They were dressed in black.
Yes.
So I'm curious what that was about, because we've made a point. You guys have made a point, and I've made a point when I'm talking to you when I'm in my car, because I feel like I'm on the podcast because I do that. But I've noticed and they don't subscribe to the Gilead outfits. They're still sort of falling under like the very 50s housewife and husband sort of attire and the formal maid outfit, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this was the first time you saw them in lockstep. They were both wearing dark color. They were both wearing black. And it was almost like had just come from a funeral.
Yeah.
But we know that Ezra's okay because he was hit in the... So I'm curious what that was all about and if we'll ever find out, or if they were just trying to show them as like a united front together. Hard to say, but God, aren't they the worst? He didn't say a word and she ran that whole moment. And man, is she awful and treating Serena like a child. And as soon as Serena went away, she's like rolling her eyes at the whole situation and that they have to sort of deal with this.
She didn't really care about Ezra getting shot. She was like,
he'll be fine. He'll live.
She wants that baby.
She thinks she already has that baby.
Yeah, well, she does have the baby, but she doesn't know who she's dealing with.
And isn't that interesting? Doesn't. We were just saying Lawrence's plans and June's expectations are on one side of the story. And then you have the Wheelers' plans and Serena's expectations on that side of the story as well. Mm-hmm. So those two stories running sort of parallel to each other, just very interesting.
And she told her, I overthrew a government.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Did. Yeah. I'm strong. I can do this.
Yeah.
She did a good job. If there's one thing Serena is, I'm gonna give it to her, is she's smart. She's smart and she's cunning. And I think June knows that. June said exactly what Serena needed to hear. She already knew that going to the Wheelers was her only option. June told her everything she needed to hear, and then she went there and was presented with exactly what she was sort of expecting. She was a little more mentally prepared for it because she kind of knew. I love that line, though. I gotta say, I know it's off the Wheeler tangent, but I love when Serena was like, I'm not gonna go live with the people who kidnapped my baby.
Uh-huh.
And June literally like cocks her head, is like, are you really telling me this right now? Like, hello. Yes. It's exactly the same thing.
I think the actress that plays Alanis is just amazing. She's playing it so great.
Like, she is.
Every facial expression, it's just so good.
She's like all the worst part. And the thing that sucks is like Serena's almost being confronted with like a mini version of her.
Uh-huh.
You know? She, and I'm wondering if she's got enough, if there'll be a moment at all where she'll be aware enough to be like, Jesus, do I sound like this? Was I this person to you? Because God, she's awful, you know?
Well, one thing too, Lawrence, he made this happen so that Serena could go back, because the bottom line is Serena has been on the front pages. She's like the poster child for Gilead. He can't afford for her to lose her child.
Right.
That's not going to look good for Gilead. So this is definitely temporary. I don't know that Lawrence would intervene so that she could get her baby back, but I don't know that he can afford not to intervene if he has to, because it's not going to look good. The only way the Wheelers can have that baby and raise it is if Serena's dead.
This was one of my questions. Why does Joseph put Serena back with the Wheelers?
Yeah.
He says he's doing it to give the presentation of Gilead being, you know, this happy family environment with man and wife and handmaid and baby. But Joseph knows her. Mm-hmm. He knows what she's capable of. Either he just wants to see what happens, or he's just seriously underestimating her.
No, I think it could possibly be that Wheeler might be a thorn in his side.
Yeah, maybe.
And he knows that Serena will take him out in some way.
Yeah.
We'll figure a way to get him out of the picture.
I'm not going to be betting on the longevity of the Wheelers.
No. On this show, you can't bet on the longevity of anyone. I mean,
yeah. That's true.
You just don't know what's going to happen.
Lawrence is such a shit starter, though, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's probably a more smooth way he could have, if the ultimate idea is to get Wheeler out of that thorn in his side, as you said, there's smoother and easier ways to do that. So, man, he's such a shit starter. But to kill two birds with one stone, he's able to take Serena down a few pegs and take care of the Wheeler situation at the same time, sort of quell that thing. He'd be a happy camper.
He's been able to manipulate the situation into what he needs it to be. The question is, and always is, what is Lawrence really up to? And who's really playing a part in everything? I think Nick is, but I also now think Serena is, because I think there's something with the Wheelers that we don't know about, other than I know that I can't stand them. So I think that there's definitely something more to that.
Yeah, so that's my point. The Wheelers, ugh, that's it. Ugh,
oh, man.
The worst.
They are the worst.
Yeah. So, Wendy, what's your next one?
I'm just going to continue on in this point. I titled it, Oh, How the Mighty Have Fallen. We start out with Serena in an orange jumpsuit pumping milk in the corner of a mixed gender jail visiting room. Like, if you could have ever predicted this happening.
You couldn't.
We have enough compassion for her from last week that it was sad and terrible, and no one should have to do that. But at the same time, it was a little bit of just desserts. So we find out she's been there about a month. She said Noah's 1 month old. And I was just kind of wondering, like, how did her baby get with the Wheelers? I was thinking, like, maybe she said that was okay. maybe it's the devil, you know. I'm thinking she may have asked June, but June said no. Like, those were all the questions I had about how that baby ended up with the Wheelers.
I was scared that that is what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think you said it on the last podcast.
Like, oh my God, if that baby ends up with the Wheelers. Because it all comes down to this citizenship. Serena is a citizen of Gilead. She is not a Canadian citizen. She had an opportunity to be an American. Mark Tuello gave her that opportunity. And she just, you know, said, no, I need to be in Gilead. You know, that's my world. That's my home. But I'm wondering why she didn't reach out to Mark, because it doesn't seem like she did. Like, what would the reasoning be?
Maybe she did and he didn't contact her back.
Maybe because of her status. I don't know.
But I feel like, honestly, given their history, I can't imagine that Bruce Miller would not have shown that.
I mean, maybe that's what's coming.
That's one of my points here, is that I'm really loving their use of flashbacks these last few episodes here. So, I mean, if that scene did happen, you know, maybe we will see it in some type of Tuello flashback, because we all know Wendy wants some more Tuello content.
She does. She's waiting.
Well, we're going to get it next week because we're going to see what happens. But I definitely felt like June was taking at least a little bit of enjoyment with Serena being on the other side of the prison fence, so to speak. I think last week I said her experience with Serena and Noah had really kind of brought closure to June's hatred and anger and revengefulness. And that's what I felt now. I felt like, although June was definitely stressed and upset about Hannah, she seemed more at peace with herself, at peace with her decisions. She definitely seemed more at peace with Serena. Like, she came because Serena asked her to. But, you know, there's irony and sarcasm in the things that she says, but you don't get hatred or vengeance out of her any longer.
No. Although she does kind of snap back.
It's not friendship, just like she said, but it's something else. It was almost like brutal honesty. Like, there's no pretenses between us any longer. We're going to say what's real. And there's a little bit of caring about each other and caring about each other's well-being, but it's not friendship. June tells Serena to go to the Wheelers, make nice with everyone, all while plotting her revenge against them. And I do believe that's exactly what Serena is doing. She comes back to the Wheelers voluntarily, and Serena knows that she doesn't have a lot of cards to play. She is eating the biggest crow that ever flew, and you know it's killing her inside, but she's doing it. The true, genuine joy that she gets out of seeing her baby is really contagious, and it makes you like Serena despite yourself.
You can't help it. And I really wonder what Jason thinks of this episode, because he's been so anti-Serena. And then last week he started to like just connect there again. I'm wondering what he thinks about this.
It's a total love fest now.
We're going to have to find out next week. We'll have to ask him where he stands.
She's so good too. Like, that whole time she was holding the baby, and the baby was so cute. It was just really a contagious scene and really sweet. And I know so much goes to Elizabeth Moss because she's just incredible and the amazing job she does. But Yvonne Strahovski is just also amazing. And they both deserve all the Oscars there are.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, too, that you could see the joy on her face. And back when she was meeting with Mrs. Wheeler after she had pumped her breast milk, it killed me that Mrs. Wheeler said that Noah's turned the house upside down.
Yeah.
And Serena kind of looked at her like, he's an infant. What could he possibly do? Well, he's doing what babies would do if they didn't have access to their mother. Like, he bonded with his mother. And he knows.
And it's the whole old versus new ways of parenting. I mean, I see that a lot on parenting groups and things like that. Like, the whole cry it out method is certainly something that, like, my mother told me to do. Just let the baby cry, put him on a routine. And the new methods of parenting, and I'm not saying which is bad and which is good, you know, because that's certainly subjective, but the new method of parenting is much more of letting your infant kind of dictate the schedule that they have and more comfort-based. It sounds like Gilead is definitely the old method of parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I felt like Serena too was, she was really upset that to learn that they're not really comforting her son. They are allowing him to cry and not giving him any love. Yeah. It's not about love.
I mean, she barely got to know him. It's so sad. I mean, that part is real. Like, I do feel for Serena, like imagining sitting in a prison cell. And this is something, and we talked a little bit about this on the message boards. This is something that happens. Women in the United States give birth while handcuffed to a bed, and they have their infant immediately taken from them and put into the foster care system. It's horrifying. And I'm not saying people don't deserve justice, but you have to, these are human beings. You have to have a little compassion for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the show this season has been moving us in a direction of having more compassion for Serena. I think we've talked about that a little bit. It's flipped. You know, June is with Nicole and is with her husband and has more freedoms. Serena is the one that's being treated like a handmaid and revered for the fact that she was able to have a baby. It's just interesting to see the tides turning in this direction and getting to see Serena have to take a little bit of the medicine that she's been dishing out over the last 7 years in Gilead.
Yep.
Great.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about June and her decision that she's going to have to make, although it seems like she's made it now with Tuello having found Hannah, planning to go get her. Although I did not hear in the conversation, I did not hear him say, we're planning a raid. I get concerned when June gets super excited about stuff and we don't really know.
Yeah, she kind of put the words in his mouth. I noticed that on second watch. Yeah.
Yeah. And she runs home and tells Moira and Luke that, oh, you know, they're going to go get Hannah. And
I think it is a raid. The very last thing we hear are jets in the sky. I'm pretty sure that's what we're hearing. Did you notice that at the end?
No, I didn't.
So at the end, we see Hannah in the garden planting a plant. And she looks up at the sky and she seems like super peaceful and happy. I don't know if she is, but that's what she looks like. And she looks at the clouds and then it goes dark and you hear what to me sounded like jet plane.
Interesting.
Which also made me like terrified.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that was a good grab. I didn't hear that.
I could be wrong, but that's kind of how I took it.
And who provided the video of Hannah? It had to have been Lawrence because Tuello still had no idea where Hannah was.
No, Lawrence gave them that video and they gave it to Tuello,
who dug into it after Moira is thinking, well, we could get some metadata on this and maybe we can find
and that's
out
how they tracked where she was.
You know, Lawrence has given her this opportunity to go back to Gilead and be like the poster child by publicly going to New Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And then she's also now finds out that, oh, Hannah's coming back. I don't know that's going to work. Maybe we'll see. But June also had this conversation with Lawrence where I thought Lawrence was going to cry.
Yeah.
And it basically was talking about the rape and torture and abuse in the world that he was the architect behind. She calls him a sick fuck. And he basically, you know, fighting back tears, says, you think I don't know the misery that I've caused? You think I'm unaware? I was trying to save humanity. I did. I fucking did it. And it got away from me. It went septic. Yeah. Septic is a great word to describe the mess that's been created. And he even admits after that maybe he would just let the human race die if he had it all to do over again, because then he wouldn't have Gilead on his conscience. And I think the mess that has become Gilead does weigh on him heavily, and he is trying to make it better.
I felt like we finally got some of those answers because we've been waiting to find out more about Nick, but mostly Lawrence's motivations. He starts out by telling June the same stuff he's been telling everybody for this whole season and a lot of last season as well. He just kind of gives his pat political speech about how he created Gilead for the good of mankind. And although he had to crack a few eggs, it was successful. And he tells June that Hannah being forced to marry a commander twice her age isn't so bad. And it's like an arranged marriage. I'm shocked like that she didn't put her hands around his throat.
Yeah. Well, and June has seen these marriages. Like, she's seen how some of these marriages are, and she doesn't want that for her daughter, who's 12. Let's remember, Hannah is 12 years old. It's just crazy.
But then later, we finally get the real Joseph, and we haven't seen him for a while. Like,
no.
He's been doing things that we knew were good, but we hadn't heard him talk like he talked, and it was good to hear him say that. I do think he said he'd let everything die. He'd let the human race die before he would
do it again. And he does believe he can fix it. And he said he has to, because otherwise, if he doesn't believe, then he would kill himself like his wife. And at that moment, I'm thinking of when June left Eleanor to die in that room.
I thought she was going to say something.
I did too. Yeah.
And I was like, no, June, don't do it.
This is not the time. It's not the time.
And I do think, though, that the Hannah that June thinks she's getting back is not going to be the Hannah that she thinks it is. She's not a little girl.
But it's all she has. I mean, it's that or nothing. There's no do-overs. And she knows that.
Yeah. You know, she still has all this guilt. And that's why I think she's so driven. I'm glad to see her focused on something else versus, who can I kill next after she killed?
It's because she's finally sort of in her reach.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she sees that and she's so excited. We see that joy on her face at the end. We've never seen her like that.
See, that terrifies me. I'm like Pavlov's dog. Yeah. Everybody's happy and excited. I'm terrified.
No, because things don't, on this show, you don't know what to expect. Now, Wendy, very well next
happy
week.
Music. I'm terrified. Yeah,
we could see Hannah return to June. We could. Do I think
them being reunited in some way?
But I don't know that that's going to happen. I trust, and I know I've said this before, I trust the showrunners to give it to us what the story is going to be, to tell the story. And it may not be for them to be reunited yet.
I meant to ask, Wendy, I know you read the second book, Testaments. Daphne, did you read it as well?
No, but I know enough about what goes on in it to... Okay.
Daphne's one of those people who likes spoilers.
Oh. Ooh, interesting.
I'm one of the few, but not always. Like, not every spoiler. Like, I don't want to know what's going to happen next week until I watch the episode.
No, me neither.
This is one show. There are shows that I don't want a spoiler on. This is one of them.
Have you read Testaments, Diana?
Yes. And
it's spoilery, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very spoilery. Yeah. It's all from her perspective. But Testaments is from several different people's perspectives.
Yes.
So you have to trust in the first book that she is or isn't a reliable narrator. In the second book, their story is told from multiple perspectives.
Right.
I'm just curious if they're going to follow it. They did follow the first book very closely in a lot of areas. It's not 100%, but it's very, very, very there, very close to it. But
I think they will, because she wrote it in the middle of the series. Yeah. So I think they will.
And they've also already said that they've optioned it to do like a series based on it. So, knowing where the book will end up, I think the place where they have the artistic freedom is, you know, the book is here and the other book is here, but there's this chunk here where Bruce Miller can be more artistic to get to that end point. So that's why, like, all of the, you know, the fates of all of our people, some of it is determined, but I think some of it possibly not.
Right.
Or how they get there is not determined. So just without giving anything too much away.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to Diana. Okay. It's time for you to give us another point.
Let's see. I've covered most of, and you guys have covered most of my stuff. I think the only thing, I made a quick point about using the flashback. So maybe we could talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Really liked, they did that in the last episode as well as this one. And I'm really liking it because it's, especially in the case of Hannah, I was just thinking about this while we're talking about her expectations of when she sees Hannah. And I was thinking about it because we're seeing what her expectations of Hannah are in these flashbacks. She's expecting the little girl who loved her and hugged her and snuggled with her. And she has had those couple of moments in Gilead where it was surprising to her, where, you know, Hannah was afraid of her, Hannah didn't know her, but she did sort of eventually kind of come around in a way. I think that it's a great storytelling device, but at the same time, it's also giving us a real good glimpse into June's mind. Mm-hmm. I love the ones in the last episode, you know, showing, you know, when June was first, you know, put at her post with Serena and everything, and when they went to the birth and all that other stuff. I thought those were some great, great flashbacks. But these ones were all very, very focused on Hannah, and I really liked them. I think they really help. It's almost like a beacon and a reminder of, you know, she talks about Hannah a lot as her motivation, but then you see that and you're like, I really, really understand why. I mean, she's adorable. She loves her parents. She loved her life. She, you know, and it really humanizes all of that stuff that's in her head. It makes it less ethereal out there. She has these concrete experiences, and we are seeing them sometimes on a loop. You know, we've seen the aquarium images a couple of different times used throughout the series. So, you know, we're sort of experiencing those memories with her, which is really cute. So, yeah. So just, I really like their use of flashbacks. Last couple of episodes have been they've added a lot to the story.
It's funny. I think as a mom, there's just certain moments that stand out. Mm. And I think it's about joy. Like for me, I remember one year my girls were at the beach and it was just like this really shallow, like there was like a little island that had formed. And so it was this really shallow, large puddle of water. And they were playing on boogie boards and they'd like just played like that with each other for like hours. They just never got enough of it. And just pure innocent joy and happiness. And that stands out so heavily in my mind when I think about, you know, because there's so much you forget. You know, there's things I'll look back on video or I'll have a family member remind me about and I've forgotten, you know, because you can't remember everything. But right. There's certain things that stand out and I can totally grasp those memories. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was great to see June connecting with Nicole in this episode when she's singing that song. Mm. Not just that, but talking to Nicole about her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she's singing this song, which is actually I'll Be Your Mirror by Velvet Underground is the name of the song that she's singing. But she's connecting with Nicole, and we don't often get to see that because she's often somewhere else doing something else. And I appreciated getting to see that in this episode.
She hasn't been fully connected to Nicole.
No, she hasn't. And I liked this. And Luke coming out behind them and seeing her, and he gets emotional seeing it. Because like us, he hasn't seen her get connected to Nicole. Mm-hmm. It's just, she had Nicole. It was part of her life in Gilead. And I just think Hannah is her connection to the life she had before, too. Yeah. And she's trying to get back to that. And I she won't be happy until she gets her back.
I think to some extent, Luke kind of accepted that Hannah was gone more than June did. And he had hopes for, you know, a happy life with his wife and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he loves Hannah and he wants Hannah back and he would do a lot to get that. But he's just, I think, was at a more accepting place than June ever would be. And I think he realizes that that's just not going to happen.
Well, I think at this point, too, he's been without Hannah for longer than he had Hannah, which is something I think we've talked about before. And June got really, like, brutal with him and basically said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What have you done? What you've done for the past 7 years? Fucking nothing. And that was like a raw emotion coming out of her, because she sees herself as doing everything she can and feels like Luke is just being more patient. He's just willing to wait and make sure that it's done the right way. And June doesn't care what the cost is. She wants it. She's even, like I said earlier, ready to go have a life with Hannah in Gilead. And Luke even says to her, we're never going to be enough for you, are we? And that he's meaning him and Nicole. Like, no, and I agree. I don't think that they will be enough for her.
No, not while Hannah's out there in that world. No. They were being really hurtful to each other. And I mean, I think it's just the stress that they've been under. I mean, it's obvious that they love each other, but they're human and they were both being really hurtful to each other. You know, Luke said he couldn't understand why she saved Serena's life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Serena was having a little baby. That baby is innocent of everything that's happened. I think that was a little cold of him to say that.
Yeah, I think so too. But he doesn't see that. Like, he can't connect to June when it comes to that.
Because June suggests taking Nicole to Gilead. And I agree with Luke 1,000%. I would be like, no, you are not taking my child to Gilead.
No.
I mean, I could understand if they decided to go and leave Nicole behind with Maura or Rita. That I could understand. But no, you are not risking two lives to save one. Like, that's crazy talk.
No, but June is relentless. And whenever she puts her mind to something, as we've seen previously, she does not let up.
Right. She's just willing to risk everything.
Yeah. So, Wendy, do you have another point or notes?
My other point that I made was I agreed. I think the episode was mostly about Hannah. Mm. And it starts with the flashback of making pancakes with Hannah. And I was thinking that there's nothing in the world that could make June even think about going to Gilead, except the potential of being able to be in Hannah's life again.
Mm-hmm.
And then add her having Joseph and Nick behind her gives a little bit of this feeling of safety for her in that venture. And I could understand why she was considering it. Again, I wouldn't take Nicole. I just think that's crazy. But I could understand why she would at least consider trying it. And then Rita tells June that she would travel to the end of the world to save her son if he were alive. And June tells Serena she cannot help her child if she's not with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Serena is willing to go back into the lion's den and eat whatever crow she has to eat, just for the chance to see her baby. And she knows that her life is in danger there. Yeah. And she's still doing it. And so all these signs point to June going back with or without Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Mark Tuella raid was just this, you know, last minute 11th hour plan that kind of changed that for her. But if that hadn't happened, I think she was going. And I still think we might see that somewhere in the plot.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I'm just not sure that this is going to be or do what June thinks it is. Like, yeah, I don't know. I still wonder how high the priority is for the American government to go and do a raid on a wife school.
Do you think that island was Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard or something like that?
I think so, because it can't be that far away, right?
And it looked New England-y.
Yeah. It did. It looked beautiful. The homes were beautiful.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a real place, although it's probably real in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. Well, does anyone else have any points or notes that we should discuss?
I have some notes.
Okay.
Just in a very silly way. I just couldn't help it. But that final scene when June is in the grocery store and she gets word from Tualo and she leaves and everything's very happy and sunny, I just couldn't help it. It gave me vibes from, if you remember from the 90s, the Bjork video, the Oh So Quiet. She's like running through the street and everything's happy and woo. And I was just expecting somebody to just like stop and just be like, oh, yeah. I'm so happy for you. It was just like, it was so heightened. It almost mm-hmm. felt fake. You know what I mean? It really yeah. almost felt fake. I mean, it wasn't. It just, there was so much like, she was sort of surrounded by goodness and light. And I was like, okay, yeah. great. What's going to happen now?
We're not exactly. used to that. We are not used to that type of atmosphere. We're used to like gritty and difficult and sad and hard. Exactly. This was just weird for this show. It was different.
And interestingly, in that same sort of, that same scene before her, you know, run down the street happy thing, did anyone else have like a brief moment, since she had already said that she was sort of considering going to Gilead by herself and leaving Luke and Nicole behind, did you think when Tuello called her, she was considering not saying anything to Luke about it and just going to get Hannah on her own? I just had this really brief moment where I thought, I hope that she shares this with Luke, because just because they had been having difficulty, and yes, he wants to get Hannah, but he also doesn't want to put his family in danger. So I wasn't, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a quick instinct. I was just curious if anybody else had that thought.
I think if it had been anything else, like Tuello saying, well, we found Hannah, I'm not sure what we're going to do now, she probably yeah. might not have. Yeah. But it, either he said that they're going to get her or she believes they are, I don't know, because I did not hear it. Unless Tuello says it where I can hear it.
Yeah.
I just don't trust, because I feel like June, she's in this place where she's, what she hears is what she thinks is going to happen, what she wants to happen, and not necessarily what will happen.
This right. show has me so traumatized. I was waiting for the bombs to drop. Like yeah. that was, as soon as I heard yeah. like the plane noise, I was like, oh my God.
So crazy. I kind of want to watch it again, or at least that last few minutes.
Yeah.
And get that sound and see if, yeah. if I hear it too. That's
yeah.
That's so great. I also wanted to point out, I loved the symbolism when they showed Serena clenching her hands to keep herself from yes. saying, and mm-hmm. and I loved her pivot. She didn't agree with them when they were like, well, you might not ever be appropriate to be the mother. You need to admit that. And she just like clenched her hands, and all she said was praise be.
Yeah, yeah, like
she never like, really answered the questions right. or agreed with what she was saying.
When in doubt, just say that. Praise be. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Well, when she met with Lawrence earlier, there was that moment where she was feisty right back at him. Well, it took you long enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm
exactly.
like, you should not be pushing back, ma'am. You need to chill.
Yeah, absolutely. And then
she does not know how to chill.
She doesn't know. No. She has no chill. Serena has no chill. Just you guys pointed out last week, or Jason pointed out last week, a couple of really great Lawrence lines. And he had a couple of really good doozies this one.
Oh,
and
he did.
The ones that really stuck out to me, because he had full scenes that were hilarious. I did love when he said to June, of all people, I've been grooming Nick, not sexually, but
yeah.
And then went on.
But that sounds like something he would say, right?
Yeah. Oh my God,
he
would, yes.
Yes.
I love Bradley Whitford so much.
Diana, and you'll be very happy to know that he's directing the next episode.
Oh, really?
Oh,
he is. That's exciting. Yeah. Nine. That's going to be a big one, too.
Yep, it
oh,
is.
Oh, God.
Yep.
And I loved when he said to Serena, do you have an irony deficiency? Which is just great. He's such a great character. I do love that we got some raw Commander
emotion
Lawrence.
From him.
Yeah, from yes. him. And it was very real. I don't think he yeah. painted on any of that stuff.
I've been waiting for
it
that.
Was there. Yeah.
I've been waiting for that all season.
Yeah, yeah, I think June's so soon after all of the, pardon my French, but all the shit that went down with Putnam
mm-hmm.
and they brought it up in this episode, and it is a threat. Mm-hmm. To be that person who's depraved, she basically took a similar type of argument. And the way I put it in my notes was, I think when she said, fuck you, and was right in his face and you sick fuck, I think she kind of broke him. You could see the change in him that he never, and he's done so many, she listed all those things that Lawrence has helped her with. He's always been on her side.
Yeah.
You know, and helped her, and he's helped all those women and all the children get out. I don't think he ever thought that June would ever say those things to him. And he, whoa, did he feel them? And his reaction was so honest and so well done. And
he has his mask up all the time, and he doesn't, he can't let it down for almost anybody.
Yeah. And that's where the sarcasm and all those funny lines come from. That's him deflecting, but he just couldn't deflect in that moment. It pierced, and he had to react accordingly and tell her how he felt about the whole thing, what his real feelings were about Gilead. And I it was a breakthrough as far as I'm concerned. It was wonderful.
His plan is to try to fix it and try to make it better. And he wanted June to come, like, come help me fix it. Come.
Yeah.
Come do this. But I still, I don't know how realistic it is.
She has a lot more to risk than he does.
I'm
not saying he's not right.
Yeah.
But she has a lot more at risk than he does. I mean, all he wants is some type of redemption. He doesn't have any kids. He doesn't have a wife any longer. All he has is his attempt to salvage what he can to make it better. But she has a lot more to risk. Lawrence also, while talking to Serena, he was telling Serena that it would be hard for the Wheelers to steal Noah while he's attached to her breasts. And then he said, and now I'm done talking about your breasts.
I know, right?
A couple notes I had is Mark Twello talks about Putin in the current time. So I guess we can kind of assume that the world is like it is now, except for what's happened in the Gilead, US, Canada area. I thought that was interesting that they brought that in.
Yeah.
So I have a question, and this is about Nick. We haven't seen a lot of Nick lately. He's with the other commanders when Lawrence and him are convincing or threatening them. Lawrence was kind of trying to sell Nick on the whole thing. Just their conversation that they had left me really uneasy. And Nick specifically asked if he had convinced June to come. And that just got me thinking, like, why does he want her to come?
Yeah.
There's just something that isn't right there. And it had me suspicious of Nick. I don't know. It was like, is he trying to get Nicole and June there for his own purposes? Something just felt dark and sus in all that. I've been suspicious of Nick anyway. So I feel like that just kind of made me more suspicious.
I'm curious because I don't think they've ever been public about it. It's sort of like an accepted thing amongst a few people. I mean, Nicole is Nick's child. Lawrence mentioned it though, didn't he? That Nicole was. So would that not raise his levels in the Gilead society to be a father of a child that's here in the society?
I don't think so because that baby is supposed to be Fred's.
I don't know. I'm curious what the motivation is. I really am.
I hope we get more of Nick, more emotion, more motivation, more something from Nick, because I feel like all we've gotten this season is just vague questions.
Yeah.
Like, what is his stake in aligning with Lawrence? I don't know. And I still wish we could have that backstory episode.
Yes, I agree.
So we could see exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Because we know he was involved. We just don't have that info.
They've been utilizing the flashback. So if they, maybe if we're lucky, they'll have an episode where we get, a couple of glimpses of some flashbacks with Nick, you know.
Yeah. Bruce Miller, if you're listening to this, we'd really love to have some.
You know he's listening.
Nuggets, little tidbits about Nick and his previous when he was blowing up Washington, D.C. You know, we know he did. We'd like to know how he was involved and All we know is what they alluded to when he was going to be a witness, or he was going to switch sides and he and June were going to escape. And then they put a kibosh on it. Wendy, did you have anything else?
That's all I have.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Are back, and we've got some listener feedback. All of the feedback that we've received that we'll be discussing is for last week's episode, which is No Man's Land.
All right, so first piece of feedback we received was from Barbie Allen, and Barbie wrote in saying, wow, what an emotional episode. Yvonne Strahovski and Elizabeth Moss were incredible. I knew Serena would go into labor, and I knew June would probably help, but it didn't dampen the shock, surprise, anxiety, and ultimately sadness I felt. I finally do have compassion for Serena, and June proved herself to be an incredible human being in this episode. June and Luke have a lot to catch up about. Can't wait to hear you guys talk about it.
Tara Du says, the show always finds a way to impress me in the ways I don't expect. They gave me what I couldn't admit I really wanted, June and Serena joining forces. But they did it in a way that made the unbelievable believable. It couldn't appear easy for June to stay, and I was really glad she wasn't stuck there and made the choice after reflecting on their initial connection as women, forced into their roles in Gilead, as well as June's maternal instinct to make sure the baby survived. I couldn't believe that I was shaking my head, begging June to go back into that barn. My husband, like Luke, would never get it. But they have been through too much for June to walk away. I also didn't want June to take baby Noah. Serena really got it again, like she did when she handed over Nicole, but I wonder for how long. Now that Luke has turned her in, I expect Serena to turn on June, although I really hope not. I couldn't believe after all these seasons and all the disgust I had for Serena that my heart broke for her. And June, in the last scene, Yvonne is simply amazing. That wasn't acting. She felt that pain. I'm sorry to go on and on here, but if I don't get it out now, I'll never sleep tonight. I can't wait to listen to your podcast in the morning. I think I can totally relate to totally. That.
Yep. Yeah,
thank you, Tara. As well.
Erica May Burgesson says, this season has been so good. At first, I was worried about June and the path she was taking, but now it appears that she is getting back to the way she was. This week's episode blew me out of the water. Serena started to show a little remorse for what she did to June, and everything she said was so moving. June's response was exactly what I wanted. I can't wait to see these women team up again. Well, Erica, I'm interested to hear what you think after this episode.
We'll have to see. Next up, Monica McGuire wrote in and says, I knew June would help with the delivery. After all that has been done to her, she still has mercy for Serena because she is a mother. Agreed.
May Almardini says, what an incredible episode. It may be the only one I could ever rewatch. I was watching it while holding my sleeping baby, and it was so heartbreaking watching Serena's baby get taken away, despite the fact that I do not like her. Even June wanted Serena to have Noah. I think she believed it would make her a better person. I'm still not sure if she's redeemed herself, but June definitely has for me. I don't blame her for killing Waterford. I don't like the savage way that she did it. That's why I stopped liking June, but I'm fully back on board. I think Luke has brought her back. Also, this is the second show this season that's given us a horrible C-section death. I got House of the Dragon vibes there. So horrifying. Is CAS the modern day version of Gilead? In Canada, we had a problem with them taking children away from Indigenous women as they didn't think they were fit. This is very much what Gilead was doing to women who they didn't deem fit. The children were never better off without their parents. I'm viewing these shows with such a different light, having recently become a parent. They were horrifying before, but now they are even worse. Also, June, it'll be like it's in a manger. LOL. Do you think June is religious? She does seem to use the greetings when she doesn't have to, or does she just do it to get to Serena's level of thinking? I do think June's a Christian.
I do. Mm-hmm. In this episode, she even said she's a better Christian than Serena herself. So love that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alma Contreras says, OMG, I knew Serena Joy was going to have that baby and that she would need June's help. Oof, she said she was sorry. Okay, can it be possible that June is reeling me back in? Wow, that scene between the two of them had me sobbing. And can we talk about how Serena felt like a handmaid and admitting it to June was so ironic? Yay, Luke was set free. Thank goodness. I was wondering what was going to happen to him. Holy blessed fruit. I knew her baby was going to get taken away. Another sad irony.
Next up is Kelly Burgess. And she says, what an episode. I really thought last week's was one of the best. And then they topped it. They gave such amazing performances. I was very emotional throughout the labor and delivery scene. One of the best done ones I've seen on TV. And I may have a little bit of experience with the real thing. I have so much that I could talk about in the episode. But for me, the biggest part is the ending and how much it hurt. I'm not really an eye for an eye person. And I feel like the experience that Serena had been through changed her. And she would have worked to try to fix Gilead. But Luke ruined it all. She'll never forgive now. And I'm sure many people think she deserves it. But I just think it's sad to think about what it means for the future. I wanted her and June to team up, but his actions made that impossible, I'm afraid. In one instant, I went from thinking he was great to hating him. This show, it just hits so hard. I'm anxious to see how it all plays out and to find something happy to watch in the meantime. Good luck.
Yeah. And Ben Stone just has a very succinct, well, that was intense.
Yes, it
certainly was.
We do have a couple of calls this week.
All right. This is from Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Daphne, Wendy, and Jason. This is Fran. I just finished watching season 5, episode 7, No Man's Land. And I have to say that I really think this is my most favorite episode of this whole series so far. It just was so emotional and so well acted and so smart. And I felt so bad for June and I felt so bad for Serena also, just because those flashbacks and how they showed them and they were so together, the looks they gave each other, that they both thought it was so wrong what was happening. And yet Serena standing off to the side and June sort of standing off to the side and them looking at each other, and the humanity in June that I thought was lost was really not. And she just was looking at Serena as the mother of this child that she wanted so badly, that she fell off this ledge into thinking that she needed to have a handmaid to have a child. And then her talking about how she felt like she was the handmaid. It just was really emotional. And the acting was so great. And the way June responded and the way they both act with their faces is so amazing. They're both such incredible actresses. And I was really sad at the end of them. I was happy to see Luke, and then I was mad at Luke, because why did he do that? But I understand why he did it, but that scene was so emotionally wrenching for me to watch, Serena screaming for June to save her baby, and I really hope that June does. My one question, though, however, is, okay, how long of a time period was this in? Because Luke had not a bruise on his face, and I don't understand how that could possibly be. Anyway, this definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite episode. And again, I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it, because I respect your opinion so much. And I really, again, just listening to the three of you makes this show even better for me, because I feel like I have some sort of scope and different opinions, and listening to people who I know, and just I think that you guys are really just so great. And anyway, I hope everyone has a great week, and can't wait for the next episode, and I'm about to listen to you guys talk about it. All right, take care, bye.
Thank you, Fran. Love hearing from her every week. Mm-hmm. She's been sending in feedback, and it's really appreciated.
All right. And then we have three very brief voicemails from Suzanne. Can't wait to hear what she says.
Hey, guys. This is Suzanne from Tennessee again. Loving the podcast for season 5. And I just had a quick commentary on season 5, episode 6, in the moment at the end with Serena and June. I think Serena is angry because she knows she needs June's help to get out of the situation that she's in. And y'all have discussed, obviously, the irony, or whatever you want to call it, of how it's the world Serena created, and now she's experiencing a tiny taste of it with, you know, being a pseudo handmaid and whatnot. I think in that moment, though, where she was going to shoot Ezra and all that with June, I believe that Serena did kind of know she needed June and was angry in that moment to kind of accept it and say, okay, we got to do this. I need your help, basically. And so I think that's what the emotion that she was feeling. And it's just an interesting contrast to see that development there. And I'm so excited to see what happens next. I literally was screaming and cheering during that scene. I watched it with a couple friends that night, and it's just good stuff. Can't wait to see the rest. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Hey, y'all, this is Suzanne from Tennessee again. I'm only a few minutes into episode 7 of season 5, Handmaid's Tale. I just have to say, it is beyond extraordinary right now to see Serena and June together in this setting of having to potentially help each other and all this chaos going on. Like, it is like, I'm laughing because it's unbelievable that of all the history they've had, it's just incredible to see the two of them isolated together. And June's compassion, or whatever you want to call it, for Serena is just incredible. And June is like the strongest person ever. And that's all I have to say.
And the last one.
Y'all, it's Suzanne again about The Handmaid's Tale, season 5, episode 7. I'm freaking out. I don't even know what to say. June kind of represented some kind of Christ figure to Serena, showing her extreme grace and mercy that was fully undeserved. I am just beside myself right now, and I don't even know what to say. It's like this. It's like you think that you're going to want vengeance and it's going to feel good. But like, June has such a freaking heart, and unlike Serena, and oh my gosh. And Luke is trying to get revenge. And this whole thing is twisted. Y'all, I'm out of words. I don't even know. Thanks for listening.
Wow. Thank you. Wow.
Thanks,
Suzanne, just to let you know, you can come to Podcastica on Facebook, if you're a Facebook user, and there's lots of discussion there about Handmaid's Tale, and there's even a Podcastica group that you can join and talk about this show and other shows, just to let you know.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you on there.
Sometimes you just need to, like, get it out after.
Right, and we put up a post for every episode, and as soon as the episode is launched, people can come in there and discuss the show. And sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. Been loving House of the Dragon.
I know.
I've been watching the episode like 3 times every week.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, so I'm not going to say my
favorite. The finale
part
is this Sunday, and it's super exciting.
Yeah, I'm going to be in an event this weekend, and I looked at the timing and just realized I have to get back for 9:00. I want to watch it when it's on. So I definitely have to get back.
We'd appreciate it if you leave us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. The links are all in the show notes.
Yeah, and just a reminder, we do have a Facebook page that's called Podcastica, and we also have a private Facebook group that anybody can join called Podcastica Group. We talk about all the shows that we cover, and there's lots of healthy discussion in that group, so please go ahead and join. We love new faces in there.
Next time on the podcast, The Handmaid's Tale, Season 5, Episode 9, Allegiance. Just as a reminder, we have been covering the episodes week to week and able to get them out quickly because we had screeners ahead of time. We do not have screeners for the final two episodes, so our episodes, our podcast episodes, will be out a little bit later than usual because we need to be able to watch the episode a few times and pull edit our notes and, together.
Yeah, and then record and then edit.
Exactly. So it'll be a couple days
late. Yeah, we've been posting the episodes as soon as, like, I think, I don't know if Jason's doing it Wednesday morning or maybe even right as soon as the episode drops.
Yeah, it's been a great companion.
Yeah. Yeah,
for people.
But we'll be a little bit later for 9 and 10.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Gilead's gonna Gilead.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's simple math. Tim Horton's 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.